6 never, ever marks the spot.
I am altering the deep. Pray I don't alter it any further.
Most of the intelligence community doesn't believe he exists. The ones that do call him the Winter Soldier.
I'm Batman.
Dracarys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Top 5 Report, the podcast that would like to point out the only way the Ewoks had a dress for Princess Leia is if they cooked and ate the woman before her. My name is Drew. I'll be your host for the evening. Along with me, as always, is my brother, Peter. How are you, sir?
Here.
Here? Yep.
Yes.
All right. How was your week?
I'm doing, my week's been pretty good. Really busy holiday stuff, but it's all been fun, positive holiday stuff, too. So that's good.
Good.
How about yourself?
I've been busy, not fun holiday stuff at all. It's just been kind of like normal day in, day out kind of things. So, where the holidays are looming and on occasion I listen to Christmas music in the car, you know, it is what it is.
Bah humbug.
No, it's not really a bah humbug. It's Christmas is weird. When you become an adult and you have children in the house, Christmas takes on a whole new realm of things, right? And I guess the game is different. You know what I mean? When you're a kid, you are like dreaming of like, you know, what Santa's going to bring and all that stuff. And when you're an adult, you're still thinking the same stuff. But at the same time, you're also focused on making sure everyone else is having a good time and that kind of thing. And it takes some of, in my opinion, it takes some of the magic away. Everyone who's asked me what I want for Christmas, I've honestly said I don't want anything because I don't know what to ask for. It's strange. I've been dealing with this for the past couple of years. Like, here, let me just run the slate. You don't buy movies for anybody anymore, right? So it's not like I'm gonna ask for a Blu-ray. You don't really buy music for anybody anymore. You don't really buy video games anymore. Those are all like, unless you're a kid buying like a Nintendo Switch cartridge, almost all video games are bought digitally now. So the normal stuff that I might ask for, you know, in the fun category, I don't really ask for anymore because there's no point. If I need a pair of pants, I'll just go buy pants. I don't want that for Christmas. Like, and I don't want you shopping for my pants. Like, it's weird, right?
Yeah.
So it's strange. So it's like, so let me give you a list of things that I was planning on purchasing for myself and hope for the best.
Yeah. You know?
Which it just makes it weird. So like, I honestly don't know if I'm getting anything for Christmas, and it's mostly because I don't know what to tell people. So
you're getting exactly what you want for Christmas. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's weird. No. Like I told like mom, like our parents, you know, if you haven't listened to the show before, we are brothers. But our mom asked me what I wanted for Christmas. I'm like, Mom, I don't want anything. And she just looked at me like, are you serious? And I go, yeah, I have no idea what to tell you. So if you don't buy me anything, I will not be upset.
I mean, I guess gift cards are a good fallback. Like, you know, if somebody doesn't want anything.
Maybe, but gift cards to me, are weird. Like, because okay. You just bought me an errand. You know what I mean? Like, now I got to go do something with this.
I was thinking more like if you get a gift card to like Texas Roadhouse, it forces you to take the family out and like have a nice dinner together. Where normally you might not have done that. I will say I do really like physical media still, though. So if somebody wants to buy me a Blu-ray or a DVD,
yeah, no,
I'll be ecstatic
for that. Look, I really like physical media too, but that's the thing. Like, what do I ask for? And like,
yeah,
like I was Googling, like, so for example, I'm really excited the fact that they did the Kill Bill, Whole Bloody Affair, right?
Yeah.
In theaters right now. I have not had a chance to go to the theater to see it. But I'm like, if I miss the theater option, are we getting a physical release of it? Because I wanted to upgrade my Kill Bill to Blu-ray quality anyway. And when I heard about this, I was like, well, I'll just wait, right? Well, now I'm wondering, I'm questioning, like, are they going to release it this way? Because I would love for them to do so, even if it shows up in two discs, because it's still going to have the extra footage, right? So, you know, like, what are we going to get? You know, what am I going to get out of this?
Yeah, so there's that. And, and I was really speculating that that Kill Bill, like, I feel like they're not going to release a physical version of the whole bloody affair, and that's gonna suck. But we'll see how it goes. But really,
don't ruin my dreams.
Oh, I'm ruining them all right. No, what I was going to say, though, with your whole conundrum of not knowing what to ask for, I think what I'm gathering is you just need to start collecting a lot more vinyl. You know, you can always ask to expand your record collection. Collecting vinyl is the answer for adults who don't know what to ask for Christmas.
I honestly thought you were going to say my pop collection.
Oh,
my Funko. Well, there's always Funko Pops to get. I thought that's what you were going to tell me to do.
That is a good point. You do have I don't want to say like you have a ton, but you've got a couple pops scattered throughout the house. But I guess that's true. We could always buy some more Funko Pops.
I think I maybe have 12 tops. Like, I am not the Funko. Like, I bought I bought some that I'm just like, ooh, that'd be really cool to have on the shelf. And it's not like ones that I like freak out and like go nuts for, you know what I mean? So
anyway. You're just like me in that way. Like, I'm cool with, like, I have probably, you know, between 10 and 15, and a couple of them aren't even on display, but like, I'm not gonna build like a full wall of Funko Pop figures still in the boxes and stuff like that. But if somebody gets one as a gift, me one as a gift, it's still kind of cool. So anyway, should we jump into the actual
people
show?
Don't want to listen to our people don't want to listen to our Christmas woes. at any rate, yeah, let's talk about it. What did you watch this week, man?
Yeah, well, speaking of hating Christmas, I did want to throw out, I did do my one public service cosplay volunteer action since we last recorded. Long story short, my mom is on the city council for my home or our hometown, and she's definitely guilted me into throwing on a Grinch costume and taking part in that town's Christmas parade.
Yeah, so I saw that, your
right after recording last week, and that's always just a fun experience. It's super awkward, you know? It's basically I throw on a Grinch costume and mingle with people in the crowd of the parade and walk around and do the worst possible Jim Carrey impression you've ever heard. But it is pretty fun, and it is that sort of, like, you know, like I said, public service cosplay activity. So that's kind of how I thought of it. So that was definitely a blast. What were you saying there, though, Drew?
No, like, you literally, like, right after we got done recording, you put on the costume and had to go do your thing?
Like, the next day, yeah.
Oh, okay. I literally thought you meant, like, no, I turned off the microphones and I jumped out. I'm like, dude, that was late.
That would have been awesome.
But, yeah, anyway, what were you, that was it? Like, did you watch anything or just get, like...
No, just throwing that out there. But I was really amused by there's always like the one, you know, like overall, like all the kids are like getting into it, enjoying like, oh, you know, he's the Grinch and doing pictures with people and stuff. But there's always those like one or two kids that are just not impressed by anything. And those are great. You know, like this year I had a little girl telling me I was a fake Grinch. And it was one of those things where anything I said to this little girl, she would not crack a smile, and it was hilarious. So, but yeah, that was a great time. Otherwise, my watching and reading is like remarkably short this week, because it's actually a little bit shorter than we last recorded. Really, all I've been doing is my wife and I restarted Stranger Things from season one. So we've been watching through that every night. Super fun. It's really fun to watch with her because, like, I watched season one and two, actually, of Stranger Things a couple times because back then it just felt like, oh, you know, it's only 8 episodes. It's like a long movie, you know, you can just watch this over a weekend if you want to. Season one, I think I've watched like 3 times. So it's really fun watching it with her because she hasn't watched the series since like 2016. And it's one of those things where, like, these scenes are coming on, and she's just like, holy crap, what's gonna happen? Who's that? What's that there? And I'm just sitting there like, that's the Demogorgon who's sneaking up on Barbara, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, I'm like, you don't know what this is, you know?
I thought you were gonna, I thought your reaction was gonna be, you've seen this?
Yeah, it is true. I did have that reaction, but it was like 9 years ago for her. So it's been like super fun revisiting that. But yeah, we're just getting all up on the Stranger Things hype. And I know we're going to put a pause on this rewatch when the new episodes drop. But that's really it for me this week. Drew, do you have anything cool or exciting that you've been watching?
I really wanted to. My plan was to watch the new Aronofsky film, Caught Stealing, as to review.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But my brain, like, I got up, like, I was like, there was no chance I was going to get a chance to watch it, like, in the evening hours. And I'm like, I'm normally awake before everyone else in the morning anyway. So I'm like, I'll just get up and watch it in the morning. I got up, had every intention of, like, watching it. I was exhausted. I almost instantly fell asleep on the couch. And then I woke up like maybe 40 minutes later and was like, oh my God, there's a lot of snow that came down last night. So then I spent the rest of the morning shoveling snow. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm not watching that movie now. So yeah. Anyway, but yeah, that's kind of what I was planning on doing. What I ended up doing was finishing. I watched slash finished the most recent season of The Morning Show on Apple TV, which was actually really, really good. The way that, I don't know if this is the final season of the show. If they closed it right now, I feel like that's like one of the, it's felt like a series finale. I don't know if it is or if they're coming out with another season, but it felt like a series finale. However, the show was really decent. I was really kind of worried going in because of what the subject matter of the show is, following this news network and all the people around it. And they've had, and they've covered really heavy stuff. Like the first season handled, covered, the Me Too movement. And then the second season covered COVID, and that got, and as good as it was, it got very hard to watch because of how close to home it was. It was almost a little too soon. And you're just like, oh my gosh, this is rough. And then the third season, it covered a lot of a bunch of the January 6th stuff at the Capitol. So I was really kind of worried going in that they were going to cover a lot of the woke movement agenda stuff and the election and all that. I really thought that what was going to be the main focus. It ended up actually being more about AI and, a story cover up that was kind of like embedded into the network and stuff like that. So I thought that was really cool. There was some background stuff where they would mention the Biden administration, and where they would mention every now and then they'd bring up you'd hear some kind of political thing, but for the most part they kept that all quiet and then, you know, went on to the other stuff. So I mean, as a whole, the season was actually really, really cool. But yeah, I thought it was a really decent season as a whole. So there you go.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I always forget to even go onto Apple TV. So a lot of those series I definitely sleep on. I've heard really good things about this show. So glad that you enjoyed it. In a weird way, like your review right now made me almost not want to watch the show, though, because it does sound like so much of it is just like too real, you know?
Well,
you want to escape the day-to-day news it nonsense.
Is,
and
it is really to a point, because ultimately it's a drama about people who work in the news, but then they cover real stories, kind of like the newsroom. But the newsroom I thought was a lot of fun to watch, where this is like really heavy, serious stuff. So it is a heavier show to watch, but it's really well done. The actors top notch, the writing top notch, the everything, like, it's such a good show. It's just heavy subject matter. I will say this, please remember Apple TV, because you have not watched F1 yet, and it's only a couple days and F1 will be available for you to watch on Apple.
Oh, sick. Yeah, that'll be so great to make use of that app for a change.
Yeah, and I don't know about your kid, but he'd probably love the movie. In terms of like all the fast cars and like all that stuff, it's a really good movie, and he definitely can handle it. So,
oh, good call. Yeah, that's a really good idea. Maybe that's a weekend activity. So, yeah,
maybe. But yeah, it's a good one. So, yeah. Anyway, that's about it for my watching. So, unless you have anything else, you want to hop into the news?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, we have a couple quick ones, and then we got a massive story we got to talk about. And most of my notes are about the massive story. I'm just double checking real quick. There's going to be a multi-film reboot of the Never-Ending Story coming.
All right.
I don't know how I feel about this. The first movie is literally an hour and a half long. It's 90 minutes. When I was a kid, it felt much, much longer. So yeah, there could be more lore. There could be more stuff they're going to dig into and stuff that we don't know. However, I worry that I got to live through Artex dying again. And that as a Gen X child, that messed me up. And you know what I mean?
Good call.
If someone's like, what was the first thing you cried at in a movie? Well, Artex dying in the Never-Ending Story. You know, so I don't know if you have any thought about it, but, you know, Never-Ending Story getting a full reboot, that's kind of cool. But multi-film, I don't know how I feel about the multi-film aspect of it. So
it's one of those things we're gonna need a little bit more information. The Never-Ending Story is like, it's such a great film, but I don't know, like, I still love the movie, but I don't know how it ages in to the extent of, if I showed it to my son, would he love the movie, or would he not get into some of the old practical effects and the puppetry and stuff like that? So that's like a really good question. But yeah, it's one of those things. It could be really cool, but it depends on, you know, who's directing it, who's at the helm, who's writing it. Stuff like that. And if it's the wrong team or if they have the wrong approach, it could really easily be something really not good. So we kind of just have to have a little bit more information, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. The other quick one I have for you is the Penguin season 2 is now in active development.
Oh, hell yeah. That's awesome.
I think this is good news, but I think we were all kind of like, questioning, is it going to happen? Mostly because they seemed unsure if it was worthy of a second show, second season. Look, we all wanted the second season because that was so good. But there's also that argument of going, what if we just made it a miniseries and it remains being this incredible, amazing television show and it sits on the shelf as this just amazing television show, right? And then it kind of folds into the realm of things. And then, you know, we get more of the Penguin in the Batman films. I would totally been okay with that. Making this a multi-season show, I would be concerned about them. Like, it's that quality over quantity thing, right?
Yes.
You don't want to go do too much and then you have it muddies the water, right? So I think this is great. I want more from it anyway. So no complaints here. And it's just kind of good news to know we're actually going to get it. So there you go.
Yeah, I agree. I think your commentary reminds me of when we were talking on the show about how, like, you know, they did the Penguin series and it kind of feels like it was amazing. It's one of the best TV series I've ever seen, but it kind of leaves you at a place where it's like, you know, they don't necessarily have to continue it from here. And we were talking about, like, what if they just do more mini series based on different villains? You know, they could do like a Riddler mini series or a Joker mini series, or, you know, get into like some of the smaller villains. Let's see, like the Mad Hatter or Scarface or, you know, whoever else, and stuff like that. Seems really, really cool. But I think when it comes down to it, when you have this amazing series like the Penguin, you have like the higher ups going like, no, we want to, you know, everybody wants to see more of these characters, you know, they want to see more of this specific story. And so, like, yeah, it sounds awesome. I just hope that there's a story to tell, you know, and this whole thing doesn't feel forced. But I loved the first season so much, so I'm definitely there day one to watch this new series. It's just like, I hope there's a story to tell, you know, and they're not just trying to force it out because that's what people want, you know?
Yeah, agreed. All right, that's enough for the quick hits. Ready to talk about the big one? Because yeah and this is that, look, this legit broke the internet, so I know you saw it, and I'm talking about the Netflix Warner Brothers deal. There are multiple parts of this story, so I want to go through all the details I have. I received an email from Netflix. I don't know if you did. I would like to think you did. So I wanted to actually read the email, and then I'll talk about the back end stuff. So for starters, this was, what day was this on? I have to, all right. So December 5th. Yeah, December 5th, Netflix announces that they are going to acquire Warner Brothers in a deal worth $82.7 billion. So Warner Brothers, if you didn't know, has been on the chopping block sale for a very long time, and they've been looking for someone to take over and purchase the company as a whole. So Netflix has officially said, hey, $82 million, here you go, we want to buy it. An agreement was reached. Now, there was Paramount was... a possible contender to purchase Warner Brothers. So was Amazon. And then I thought there was one other company that was looking at it. But Netflix wins the bid. Okay. Now, what does that mean Netflix owns? Do you know? Do you have like just a big gambit of information?
I mean, yes. I have seen the, there was a viral tweet that went out that's just like, these are all the items that like, all the pieces of entertainment that Netflix owns the rights to. So I might have seen the list you're talking about. So
I mean, to give you an example, the entirety of HBO. So yeah, there's the HBO original films, but this includes Game of Thrones. This includes The Sopranos, Succession. This includes True Blood. This includes Newsroom, one of the favorite shows I like. This includes Veep. This includes Sex and the City. Like, this is a massive slate. Right. This includes John Oliver and Bill Maher. This includes all the HBO documentaries. It's massive. Okay. That would mean they own the entire Harry Potter franchise. They own the entirety of the DC studios and all the films, the Snyderverse, the James Gunn stuff, all of that. They would include a classic library, including like Casablanca, for example, Wizard of Oz. It would include The Matrix. It includes Looney Tunes. It would include all of the Warner Brothers video game studios. Let's see, what else? Yeah, let me see here. Yeah, it's literally one of the biggest libraries in terms of media content there is, because it's a studio that's been around for 100 years. Okay, that is nuts. Okay, they win this bet. They win the sale for $82 billion, right? That's a huge slate of items. Now, concerns. They say the HBO Max will remain with some content that will be periodically added to Netflix. So HBO Max will remain, period. That streaming service isn't going anywhere, with some content periodically added. I have a feeling that means it's not going anywhere anytime soon, because we have to figure out what we got on our plate.
Sure.
Right? Netflix plans to maintain WB's current operations, including theatrical releases. So they don't want to mess with the schedule. They want everything to be status quo. Keep doing what you're doing. In my opinion, that's kind of the best news, right? The reason I say that is because one of the concerns was there was a rumor that I had read a long time ago when the whole sale stuff started and people were starting to like, when we actually started seeing discussion about this, is there was rumor that Paramount, if they win the bid, James Gunn is gone and they will do a full reset of the DC universe. And I was thinking to myself, that might be the worst thing not only to happen to the DC universe, but to all comic book movies in general, like all.
Yeah.
Of them. Like that could be a killer for the comic book movie industry in terms of like, so you're going to purchase the studio, you're going to get rid of the CEO that just started with one movie. He's got a plan and you're going to wipe it. What? Yeah. That sounds really bad. James Gunn says Netflix Warner Brothers deal has not affected the DCU plans. In an interview Bloomberg, Gunn addressed the big question fans have asked since the Netflix news dropped and made it clear that the studio roadmap is still the roadmap. No sudden pivots, no panic, rewrites, just business as usual. That's what we want to hear, especially for a guy that just started. Right? He's been cooking for like 2 years. He drops one movie. This sale goes through and we have a chance of one of the buyers going, you're gone. Right? Because they'll want a clean house. And that's a lot of times what happens with these business takeovers. This is like almost like the Disney Fox acquisition, Peter.
Yeah.
Where we had to navigate the waters of that. But this feels very hostile. And I'm not talking on the Netflix side. We'll get to the hostile side of things. Netflix says that a 45-day window for a film to be made in theaters is perfect. Anyone who really wants to see it in a theater has no excuse if they can't make that window. People are complaining they're trying to be pretentious cinephile dweebs. Netflix is basically saying that 45 days in the theater, and then it should be available for you to watch on streaming. That's cool. Most of the Netflix original movies that go to the theater are available for you to stream within 45 days of it being in the theater.
Sure.
That's a lot, like a lot of Netflix originals that are getting Academy attention are getting that, right? So I'm okay. I'm honestly okay with that. There's nothing against, I don't have anything against that. Let's talk about the hostile part. Well, actually, let me read to you the email. Did you get the Netflix email?
I don't know. Well, I don't. My Netflix account isn't in my name, so okay. Yeah, I didn't get it. So
well, this is the email that I received from Netflix. So today is the 9th. So I received this on the 6th. We received an announcement. We recently announced that Netflix will acquire Warner Brothers, including its film television studios, HBO Max, and HBO. This unites our leading entertainment service with Warner Brothers, Iconic Stories, bringing some of the world's most beloved franchises like Harry Potter, Friends, The Big Bang Theory, Casablanca, Game of Thrones, and the DC Universe together with Stranger Things, Wednesday, Squid Game, Bridgerton, and K-pop Demon Hunters. What's changing? Nothing is changing today. Both streaming services will continue to operate separately. We have more steps to complete before the deal is closed, including regulatory and shareholder approvals. You'll hear from us when we have more to share. In the meantime, we hope you'll continue to enjoy watching as much as you want, whatever you want, all on your current membership plan. And then blah, blah, blah. Thank you for choosing Netflix. Right? Sure. I was like, I saved this email just for this show. There is nothing wrong with anything they said. Now, here comes the hostile part. Paramount Skydance launches hostile bid for Warner Brothers Discovery just days after Netflix agreement, offering $103 billion for the platform. Hollywood, for some reason, and this is the part that I don't understand, is in a panic right now for Netflix to own Warner Brothers. Do you have any idea what that's about? Like, seriously, I saw a text thread in our group chat with our brothers where our one brother posted the story that Paramount's looking to buy it. Our other brother decided to say good. And then you said nice.
Yeah.
So I don't know where any of you guys sit on the scale of things. I'm kind of curious the why. So why don't you explain this to me? And then I'll go.
Are you saying that Hollywood is in a panic to have Netflix acquire Warner Brothers or the other way around?
They don't want Netflix to own Warner Brothers.
So my biggest concern with the whole thing is that the CEO of Netflix has said some really divisive things when it comes to movie-going audiences. He said things like, people don't actually want the theater-going experience. People, you know, the consumers are telling us that they would rather stream movies in their own house, stuff like that. I know you were just talking about things about, like, how every Netflix movie is going to be in theaters for 45 days before it hits the streaming app. But when you hear the CEO saying stuff that doesn't really... It kind of gives the impression that he doesn't necessarily value the movie going experience. And as like somebody who really does value that experience, it kind of scares me, you know? I also think this is just like a huge, this is a huge shakeup. And it's one of those things where, like, in the short term, I think everything that Netflix is saying is true. I think Netflix and HBO Max will continue to be two separate streaming services. I think that the Warner Brothers movies, you know, the Warner Brothers movie schedule is still intact for the time being. That's really good to hear because, you know, I was really getting excited for, like, James Gunn's DC Universe, for example. And that, like you said, it just started and it's like another shakeup. And we're still, at least I'm still recovering from some of the calamities of how the Snyderverse played out, you know, and how I feel like that whole situation could have been handled better with less studio oversight, and we could have had a better DC universe if the higher ups would just let, you know, the movies be made and let Snyder's schedule, etc., like, come to fruition. And so I was a little bit like, crap, you know, we finally have another DC universe, it has momentum, and then this happens and it's going to throw a wrench in the gear. And I am hearing otherwise. I am hearing, like, James Gunn has been vocal online saying, like, that you have nothing to worry about, everything's still moving forward. So that's awesome. I think it's just what I was saying, like, the CEO has said some very divisive things about movie theaters in general, and that really does put a lot of doubt in my mind, because that is, like, something that, I mean, since day one on the show, we have been really, like, talking about how, like, we really value, like, the movie theater experience, and it's the best way to see a movie, and not only that, but just making memories with families and friends, you know, going out and enjoying these stories. So I think quotes like that from the CEO really scares me. I've also seen some, there's some other people who have been commenting on, and this is a big, big thing. I know, Drew, you'd agree with it, that this is a big thing for, you know, most people who are into our show, but what does this mean for DC Comics as a comic book company? And, you know, if it's a situation where Warner Brothers owns DC Comics and Netflix is getting ownership of that, is Netflix going to continue the DC Comics publishing model?
Well, and that's something I don't know if I've ever fully understood. Because,
okay,
like, Marvel, and let me explain why I say this, is because Marvel Comics, Marvel Studio Film Division, all of it is owned by Disney, period. All of that.
Yes.
But Marvel Studios didn't have a film division when Disney bought the comics division. I always was under the impression that DC Comics is its own entity. The film rights to DC Comics as a whole are owned by Warner Brothers. Like, you know how, like, Disney, like, so Marvel sold out their rights to Disney, to Fox and Sony and stuff when they started making the movies originally, and it was a battle for Disney to get characters back, where DC basically said, hey, film rights, we're going with one company and one company only.
Sure.
Right? So I don't actually know if Warner Brothers owns DC Comics as an entity, just the rights to produce television and film within the banner of DC Comics.
Yeah, and
I could be very wrong, but there's a thought I had. It's just, that's what I always under the assumption of. So
it's one of those things, like, I don't have, like, the actual sources to cite, but I have heard, like, there's, like, multiple, like, different podcasters or YouTubers that I've, like, kind of listened to and stuff that have said, like, Warner Brothers does own DC, and I think you're right, because DC Comics is kind of its own thing.
I just looked it up. Warner Brothers does own DC Comics.
Yeah, and but I think you're right, where DC is kind of just this publisher that it you know, it functions on its own and stuff, and I don't think there's a lot of, like, Warner Brothers oversight into, like, the DC editorial offices.
No, not
I think
at
it's
all.
One of those things where if you follow the money up, at the end of the day, like, DC is under Warner Brothers. So, like, Netflix acquiring DC or acquiring Warner Brothers, they are technically acquiring DC Comics as a publishing company. And a lot of people are actually worried, like, what does this mean for my favorite comic books? You know, because I've heard one person put it, Netflix isn't going to continue publishing pamphlets, and that's how they phrased it, but they're saying Netflix isn't going to continue to publish floppy comic books as we know them. And I don't know if Netflix will, you know, but just kind of based on like what, you know, people have been saying about like the ups and downs of the comic book industry in general and stuff, I do have some worries that this could impact DC Comics as a publishing company. And that's really scary to me too. And so I think, like, long story long, you wanted to know like why I said nice to Paramount.
Yeah, putting there's more of that. I was like, what do you guys know that I don't? Because I was kind of looking at it going, is Paramount the right place to go? Or is Paramount going to be the one company that come in and go, well, we're not doing this,
yeah,
and start like cleaning house, right? Where it sounds like Netflix is like, hey, we're buying this thing. We want to make cool stuff. And you guys keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, there's going to be a degree of they're making some changes and stuff like that. But that's where I was partially concerned. Like, hold on a second. Let's all back up a sec. The Paramount deal, when I say they're doing a hostile takeover, they're going directly to shareholders. Like, they're not even just going to Warner Brothers as like CEO and saying, hey, we want to buy the company. We have a different bid on the table. No, they're going directly to the shareholders to try and get them to sway the opinion, which Netflix has the ability to counter offer. This is going to be an ongoing thing for a little while. The one thing I will say about Netflix, and I want to point this out, is before you sway your opinion either way, and I'm not talking to you, Peter, I'm talking to literally our listeners, anyone paying attention, especially like watching this, because I'm finding this to be very an interesting thing, and it's going to determine where we find our content going forward. Netflix right now is saying HBO is going to stay put, and they'll kind of move. They'll probably be like, hey, Game of Thrones is on Netflix right now, and then they'll drop it over on HBO for a little bit. They don't really know what they're doing with the platforms. I can see Paramount absorbing it as a whole, and then HBO Max will no longer exist. I can see that happening. Sure. But Netflix, if you didn't know, when it started as a company, they pitched a deal with Blockbuster Video, where they said, hey, we want to like do this mail order DVD thing so people don't have to come to the store. What do you think about that? And Blockbuster's response was, nope, people like to come to the store.
Sure.
And Netflix said, okay, I guess. And they turned down Netflix, and then Netflix started streaming, and because of the streaming, it killed Blockbuster. I don't think it was intended to, hey, we're going to kill Blockbuster. It's Netflix going, hey, well, if you don't want to partner with us to do this thing we're going to do, okay. And then Blockbuster no longer exists. Now Netflix has their own studio. This isn't like a streaming company that said, hey, we don't know how to run a studio, we want to buy a studio. This is a company that built themselves to be what they are. They created a studio which produces not just movies, but some of the best television out there, including Queen's Gambit, Stranger Things, Cobra Kai. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the way this is, like, Netflix is acquiring all this stuff. Wednesday, for example, The Outer Banks. Like, there are massive shows that come from that platform that Netflix have done, on top of massive movies that they've done as well that are Netflix exclusives. Look at the Zack Snyder Rebel Moon stuff. Look at Del Toro's Frankenstein. That's a perfect example, because Frankenstein got a theatrical run. I didn't get a chance to see it in theaters. I'm glad I got to see it at home, right?
Sure.
This is a company that built a studio to be a contender. Netflix has won several Emmys for their shows. They've won Oscars. They've been nominated for stuff. They're recognized, but it's like Hollywood's treating it as a, we don't want Netflix to win, so we're going to do everything in our power to keep that from happening, which I find strange. That's the hostile part that I don't understand. So where I agree with you with the statements about not liking theaters, I get it. I'm with you. I want to be in a theater anyway. That's like a church for me, right? At the same time, they are correct. People who want to see the movie are going to go. I've said it before. Like, when we talk about like Avengers, for example, the next Avengers movie, when we sit down to review it, by the time we sit down, everyone who wanted to see it has seen the movie. The box office dollars speak for themselves. If you didn't go to the theater, well, sorry, you weren't paying attention, or you just didn't care enough. We're going to talk about the movie, right? them saying that is no different than us saying that. And we're not the only podcasters who've made that statement. You know what I mean? Like, other people have the same opinion. Look, if you wanted to see the movie, you would have gone and seen it. Yeah, you're going to see it when you get home. A lot of people might wait. That's all good. But giving us that 45-day window isn't really out of the realm. Most movies are in the theater for 45 days anyway, and then we wait 3 months after that for it to be available for me to even stream. They're saying 45 days, and then you can stream it.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like a horrible business model at all. I don't know. Because, like, so, what? A movie releases in the theater. It's in there for about 45 days-ish, depending on how good it does. And then I got to wait 3 months before it's available for VOD. And then, but that's not even streaming. That's video on demand rental. And then it's available on Blu-ray shortly after it's available to actually just stream on one of the services. Right? That's crazy. So,
I mean, I agree with that. And like, just to clarify, like, I do like Netflix a lot. Like, I love Stranger Things. I've talked highly about a number of their series. Absolutely. To be honest, like, when this announcement was made, I almost feel like I should feel more strongly about it. You know, it's one of those things where I'm like, ooh, this is going to be weird, and I'm going to wait to see how this shakes out. But I do think people have brought up, like, some really good concerns. And I think DC Comics as a publishing company, that's a really good concern to bring up, because Netflix doesn't publish books. It doesn't publish comics. So what is going to happen to this corner, you know, this small publishing company, if you want to phrase it that way, that Warner Brothers owns? The CEO of Netflix has said some very divisive things about theaters. And I think because of that, that's a huge reason why Hollywood is, like, very against this, is because Hollywood's saying, like, you're threatening our bread and butter. You know, we value the theater system. And this kind of throws a wrench in the gears. And so, like, for me, I am a little bit worried that, like, Netflix is saying all the right things, you know, at the right now. I'm just worried that 10 years down the line, it's gonna be like no Warner Brothers movies in theaters, you know, like that sort of business model. So that's more like, it's more like long run worries that I have about this. But I could be totally wrong, but I think these are, like, kind of some big concerns that people have. And then the only other thing is, it just leads to more centralization, if you will. You know, like, we all watch TV shows, and it's already, you know, we have like 5 or 6 streaming services that we go to again and again. And you know, if now when streaming services are buying other streaming services, it's just more centralization. You know, we're starting to get our entertainment from the same handful of sources, and I think that's a big thing that some people are concerned about. Like, they want the variety, the diversity of different opinions and different kind of stories and stuff like that. So that's kind of the main concerns. But I understand what you're saying, Drew, and I don't blame you for kind of having more of a positive approach to this, but
look, anytime something like this happens, the first thing in my brain is always, well, where am I going to watch the thing that I like, right?
For sure.
Like, hold on, do I got to spend more money on another streaming service? Yeah, Netflix prices could go up, but if it drops one streaming service for another because they've eliminated the one, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's a it could wash itself out, but again, where am I going to watch the thing that I like, right?
Yeah.
And then hearing, so you're just like, okay, cool. I already have Netflix. All right, Netflix is going to own the thing I like. That's cool. All right, I'm with you. And then you start hearing stories about, like, then you're like, oh, crap, what about the DC movies? Oh, they want everything to stay the same? Awesome. Okay, great. And then you start hearing about the competitors going, no, 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 this can't happen. We want it. But you're like, but I heard you want a clean house and wipe slate, and this thing that I like is going to go away. Why would I want you to get it? You know what I mean? Like, that's the part that's crazy. And all we can do is sit, speculate, and talk about it, and we'll see what happens. It's going to be really interesting to follow. This is going to be like the Disney Fox situation, and we'll see what lays out when we get there. That's really all I can say. You know what I mean? So
the last thing I'll say is one of the other reasons I said nice to that story about Paramount doing a counteroffer. Anybody who listens to our show know that Drew, you and I do get into the behind the scenes stuff. And I just think it also is kind of an entertaining story from that sort of behind the scenes streaming war sort of aspect. You know, it's kind of like watching your favorite sports teams. You know, it's like Netflix made an offer. Now Paramount's made a counteroffer. And I part of me said nice because it's just one of those things like, well, the story's not over. We still have more entertainment and seeing how these giant corporations duke it out for who gets to, you know, publish Superman content and stuff like that. So I do get a lot of pleasure in watching those sort of stories unfold as well. So
yeah, no, I hear you. It's gonna be real interesting as we go. So
We're going to be talking about this every week, I think, for a couple of years. I'm not going to lie. So, like, we will have more to say on the subject. You know what I mean?
Yeah. As we unpack, we'll unpack with you all is basically the best way of wording it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
there it is. How about this, Peter? That brings us kind of to the end of the news, because when this whole broke, I'm like, there's no other news is going to drop. No one's going to care to talk about anything but this. So.
Yes.
We're going to have a real good sit down, but we'll keep you guys posted, because as far as I'm concerned, no fan left behind, and we try and do our best to do that. So do you want to take a quick break and talk about the list tonight?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Perfect. Everyone, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
And now for the top five.
All right, Peter, it is that time a year again where we have to sit down, look at the calendar and go, oh my goodness, the next year is upon us. What movies do we have coming in our way? What movies are going to make us hurt our wallet? Because there's a lot. Before I get into the how do you handle this list, this is probably going to be one of the largest years for movies ever in terms of, like, when you think about, like, how movies got rescheduled for COVID, movies got pushed, movies got rearranged, scheduling slates, release dates got moved around. I feel like this is the first real fallout where everyone of the COVID shuffle, where everyone's going, hey, everything's all of a sudden releasing in 2026. This year is going to be insanely big. I have a feeling you and I are going to go through them quick because we don't have a lot to say about these movies that we don't know yet, but it's kind of like these are the movies we're the most excited about. And I'll let you kind of jump on this in a minute, but I found this list somewhat difficult, mostly when I got down to the smaller. I was like, there were a couple I wrote down right away, and then I was like, okay, hold on. And then, that one, and then that one. Just initial looking at the list. Because usually what happens is you're like, hey, this is the slate of movies. And then there's ones we don't really know about yet, because when you get down to like Oscar contenders, you're like, oh, that's what that is. Cause you see a title that you don't know what it is yet. And then you're like, I don't really know what that is. And yeah, you could look it up, but even if you looked it up, you might not know. And then what happens is when we get closer down the line, you start getting buzz about a movie, and then they start releasing stuff and you're like, oh, that's what that was. Okay. I'm with you. That's how I discovered the movie Hitman with Glenn Powell. I had no clue. And I just like, that sounds interesting, but I don't know what that is. And then it probably, if I would have known more about it, that might have made my anticipated list, right?
Yeah.
So these lists tend to be usually bigger movies. But I will say there are, of the list, my short list became 35 movies. And that's just now. That's not without even accounting for some of the foreign language stuff that I don't know about yet, or some of the Oscar contenders I don't know about yet. So it's interesting. How do you fare with this list, though?
Yeah, I didn't think this one was too difficult, but I do know what you mean when it comes to, you know, rounding out your list, because there are those like two or three that you write down right away. And then as you're rounding out your list, you're just like, well, what other movies do you want to pick? And it does get kind of difficult to narrow it down sometimes. But the one thing I'll say is, because you were kind of alluding to this as well, like some of these Oscar contenders, you don't know what they are. Some of these random movies, you have no idea what they are. And I always think it's funny the difference between your list of your anticipated movies and then your list at the end of the year, at least for me, because my anticipated movies are always just like visual spectacle, you know, like I can't wait to see Godzilla Kong. I can't wait to see Godzilla and Kong team up to kick some ass or whatever it is. But then at the end of the year, you're like, well, my favorite movie was The Substance. You know, I love this weird
right.
horror movie that I didn't even know existed at the beginning of the year. And I think my list definitely falls in place with that. Like, you know, half of my movies I'm probably going to think were disappointing or dumb by the end of the year. But then there's always these weird, you know, it'll be like an art house movie or an indie horror or something that really catches your attention and ends up being your favorite one. So that's kind of what I'm expecting. And I feel like that's the case most years. But this was a fun list to put together. And like you said, there are some really big movies coming out. But what we were saying there.
So let's talk about the movies we're most excited about for next year. So I do have two honorable mentions.
So do I.
All right. What do you got for me?
Yeah. Who
goes first? Because we're kind of in this pocket where usually if you pick the list, I have to go first. If I pick the list, you go first. But we have three episodes in a row where they're built in episodes. Right. So who wants to go first? I don't care.
I don't really care either. I can go first if you want. Okay. I was going to say, we could calculate out in our heads who was going to be the
first
to pick
the
list next
year. How about this? You go first this week. I'll go first next week. And then we'll argue about it on the third one. All right.
Well, yeah. So I was just speaking about visual spectacle, and my first honorable mention definitely falls into that realm. I don't know if I should be, but I am excited to see Masters of the Universe. New Masters of the Universe movie is coming out next year. Is it Amazon Prime that's kind of producing this whole thing?
Yeah, this is an Amazon one, which will end up on streaming pretty darn fast.
Yeah, that's what
anyway.
That's what I was going to say. And it's one of those things, we've heard some divisive things. We know that this movie starts off on Earth. I don't know how I feel about that. You know, why can't the whole movie be on Eternia, you know? But there
well,
is something about...
he is
about...
half human.
Fair enough.
Sorry.
Fair enough. Yeah. No, that's fine. I was going to say there is something about Masters of the Universe. And this is kind of weird, but because I feel like He-Man was a little bit before my time, Drew. Like, I remember you and my other older brother, Scott, watching Masters of the Universe and being really into it and really into the toys. But I feel like it was a couple years before my time. And for me, it was more like Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers and whatever else. But there is something about He-Man. And I don't know if it's that... I don't know if it's like the art style of a lot of Masters of the Universe stuff. I don't know if it's like the 80s-ness of it. I don't know what it is, but I still love this universe. I love the series. Like, as dated as it seems, there's something in me that really gets excited with He-Man stuff. And so I'm really excited for this movie. Now, it might be completely disappointing. It might be something that doesn't fare out as well as I'd like, but there's still something in me that's so excited about it. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on this one, Drew, but that's
well,
my first
dude,
honorable
this,
mention.
This made my short list, and the only reason it didn't make the final cut and all that stuff was mostly because of the apprehension going, don't mess this up.
Yes.
I'm very excited to see this movie. Yes, I don't want them to mess it up. I want them to make a really cool thing, but apparently this has been getting like rave reviews from the test audiences. So,
oh, awesome.
I take that as a good sign. However, test audiences there's a lot of movies that get rave reviews from test audiences, and then they tank when they get to the theaters. So, and the internet whines and moans like they do. So, yeah.
The last thing I'll say about this movie has nothing to do with the movie itself, but I did. You can find the full He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special from the 80s. You can find that all on YouTube, and I did put that on in my household recently just to see what my son as well as my wife would say to that movie play or that special playing in the background. And I'll say both of their reactions was exactly what you would think it would be.
So, sure, okay.
Which was basically, what's this weird crap that Dad put on? But good stuff.
Sure.
Anyways, what do you got next?
So this one's short. Honorable mention. I'm excited for it because I like the franchise. I'm really interested to see where they're going this time around. And that's Scream 7.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like
yeah,
I said, awesome. Honorable mention. I'm just excited for it. This is going to be a short conversation, everybody. We can't talk about movies we haven't seen other than the, hey, I'm excited to see it. So just know that for this list tonight. But yeah, Scream 7, I'm just excited. I think it's cool. I'm probably always going to have a butt in a seat for one of these movies. So yeah, until they go to space and jump the shark, if you will. So
I am excited about Scream 7. I've loved all the Scream movies. I do feel like there's a little bit of there's been enough Scream movies recently that I haven't had that craving. Like, I haven't been like, man, when's the next Scream movie coming out? But with that being said, once this comes out, I'm gonna be super pumped and I'm probably gonna love it. So
they need to take a break, like you were saying, because if they don't, then they're not gonna have, because horror movies need to evolve so they can make fun of the evolution again.
Yeah, you know? Especially a Scream movie. I guess I'll jump into my next honorable mention. This one should be higher on my list, probably. I'm sure a lot of people will be saying that, but I actually put Avengers Doomsday as my next honorable mention. And the reason this is just an honorable mention is because I feel like, you know, as much as this movie has going for it, you know, we have the return of the Russo brothers, we have the return of Robert Downey Jr., there is such a stacked cast. As much as it has going for it, I'm still like kind of wishy-washy on the MCU. Like, that's just a place I am right now. And so with this movie, I'm excited. I'm like cautiously optimistic. Like, I'm hoping it feels like we're going into Infinity War again. Like, I'm hoping it feels like a phase two or three big event film. And it's just, I feel bad saying it. It's just like some of the MCU has lost me a little bit on recent entries. So that's kind of where I'm sitting with this one, but it's probably going to be awesome when it comes down to it. You know what I mean?
Again, agreed. I am in the same boat in terms of the MCU as you. I'm not, look, my butt's going to be in a seat. I have not missed a film. You know what I mean? Like, I'm there. You got me. You got my money. The catch is that I'm wishy-washy on the sense that recent entries, things you're hearing, you don't really know. I have a ticket to see, I have my Avatar ticket for Fire and Ash. I look forward to seeing that movie. And the first teaser for Avengers Doomsday will be in front of the movie. So my opinion might be completely different.
Yeah.
There are people, by the way, freaking out that the teaser trailer for Avengers Endgame, Infinity War was like 2 minutes long. But this one's only going to be a minute. And they're like, oh my God, they're not going to show us anything. Well, they're showing you a minute. And it is a teaser. Like,
oh, yeah.
What? Stop. Like, you, the trailer with the chairs is all you needed. Just everyone chill out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. I think people forget what teaser means. The only other thing I'll mention on this one, though, too, is I also feel like I don't know what direction they're going in with this movie. And I feel like that's kind of a bad thing, you know, like going into an Infinity War and the lead up, we knew Thanos as a huge threat. We knew about the Infinity Stones, like everything was leading up to this thing. And with the MCU right now, I feel like there's certain movies they've changed course on. And as a whole, I don't know if it has that really easily definable sort of like endpoint at this, like right now. So that's another reason why I'm kind of apprehensive about this one. But like you said, we'll be there in theaters, you know.
Who are we kidding? That's the thing. They're kind of they're kind of in a position where we don't really know, like, Secret Wars is such a famous thing that for the most part in my head, I'm like, well, I know what the story is supposed to be, but the way they altered everything when we got to the Infinity War, so things were just played out so differently. Comic book fans have got to be scratching their heads a little bit going, we're not 100% sure where they're going with this.
Yeah.
So, right. But yeah, well, I'm excited too, man. I get it. all right. And this is another one that should be higher on my list, but the internet has caused me to lose a little faith, and it's literally, I'm 100% blaming the internet and the toxic fan base, but I'm referring to Mandalorian and Grogu.
Oh, wow.
Cannot wait to see this movie. I want Star Wars in the theater. I want Star Wars back. I want it to be amazing. And I have high hopes that it will be. But the internet has almost ruined the franchise. Like the Twitter universe, like the way people whine and moan, complain and bitch, it's almost like they've ruined Star Wars. And I feel like we need that big screen spectacle to get us all going, oh no, we all love Star Wars again. But we also need a studio to stop telling us about movies and canceling movies and actually get a studio in the film in the theater for us to watch. So I have high hopes. I want it to be amazing. The trailer that's been released looks amazing. I can't wait for it, but I'm wishy-washy because of the guys, we're making this movie, this movie, this movie, this movie. Oh, no, we're not making those movies anymore. And then the internet's toxicity about that franchise. So it scares me, but I'm really excited. My butt's going to be in the seat. I really am excited for it. That's the only reason his honorable mention is because of the toxicity of the fan base. So there you go.
I know that's weird.
That's weird to hear me say, being the huge Star Wars fan that I am. But come on, like, seriously.
Yeah, I definitely understand where you're coming from. In a weird way, I feel like I'm almost like I've gotten so used to the toxicness of the Star Wars fan base that I've kind of just like I almost feel like I'm in a post toxic fan world when it comes to Star Wars. Like, I don't care what anybody says online. I am just going to watch the movie and enjoy it how I like it, you know, and if everybody loves Andor and I thought that it wasn't as great, I'm not going to worry about that. Or if, you know, everybody hated the Acolyte, but I actually thought it was pretty cool, I'm not going to worry about that either. I think that's kind of where I am with Star Wars right now. Like, I grew up with it. I love the franchise. I'm just not going to let anybody else says get to me. The problem with that is when you have that mindset, you do run into the thing where you're not really able to relate to people as much. You don't make those Star Wars friends because, you know, half of the people you meet that like Star Wars hate everything about most Star Wars releases. So it does become a challenge.
Which makes you have to have that conversation. I guess you're not actually a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
You know, so...
I won't bury the lead. This is actually my first pick for, well, I actually wasn't going to say it in this order, but we kind of matched on this one in a weird way. Star Wars, The Mandalorian and Grogu. I'm really excited for this one.
I'm not a fan of the title either. I don't like the "and Grogu" part. I don't know why. I don't know.
I agree. And the reason that's there is that Baby Yoda sells tickets. You know, there's a lot of people who just love Grogu, and they don't care about the story. They just want to see the cute little Yoda on screen. But I totally understand what you mean. This, for me, I think this is really fun. I feel like it takes me back to, I don't know if it was like 2019 or whatever, when the first season of Mandalorian came out. I feel like there's a lot of people who kept up with the Mandalorian series, even if they didn't watch like other Star Wars things. Like, I feel like this is a movie that a lot of people are going to turn up for. And I'm just hoping that it's a really fun experience, you know. Like, they've got John Favreau back directing it. He's probably going to do a great job. They've got Rada the Hutt, you know. Like, anytime there's a Hutt on screen, the movie does amazingly. They really got to be putting more Hutts in things. No, I'm just joking about that, but I am really excited for this one. I think this is going to be fun, so I have high hopes, but I hope I'm not wrong about this one. So there you go.
Sure. No, I'm with you. I Like I said, I'm excited. My butt's going to be in a seat. I just, man, that toxic fan base really kind of wrecks it. You know, if I say I like Last Jedi, I get told I'm a moron. You know what I mean? So it's just, I don't know. All right. So my next one, I will knock this one out because I don't really know what it is. The Alejandro Iñárritu film. It is untitled. Iñárritu, if I'm saying that guy's name right. He's the guy who directed Birdman. He has some new movie coming out. He has some new movie coming out, which apparently the industry is buzzing with the fact that it's like one of the most amazing things that ever became a thing. And I am really, really curious. It's the next movie that Tom Cruise is in that apparently he's been working with him for several years to get this off the ground. So it's more of a, what is this curiosity? And it makes me kind of excited. Tom Cruise was awarded a, honorary Oscar for being like basically a champion for his like kind of almost like a lifetime achievement award sort of thing a couple weeks ago. And he was presented the award from Iñárritu, and they were talking about the movie, and then Tom Cruise came up and talked about the movie. And like, as you're listening to them talk, you're like, I have to see this, whatever this thing is, I have to see this. So it like just built the excitement. I knew it was coming, but it just built the excitement in terms of this sounds amazing. And they haven't said anything yet. So yes, it's an untitled movie. And if you start looking things up on IMDb or stuff like that, you just, it's, there's nothing there to look at. So I can't wait to see whatever this thing is. It just has me kind of excited. So yeah, there you go. That's my weird indie one for the evening.
No, that's really cool. I didn't even really know that this was a thing, but, I mean, Birdman was an amazing movie. So this is really great. I just like that you're pulling untitled movies for your pick. Well, this is awesome.
There's also a untitled Spielberg movie coming out this year as well, which I don't know anything about. That I didn't know Spielberg had a movie out, but when you start looking stuff up, I'm like, I don't know what this is. So looks like I just gotta be patient and find out when it drops. So
yeah, but yeah. how many of those movies have Huts with giant biceps in him?
That is a good point. I know. That is a good point. The I will say that normally, like, our lists for this are very like, hey, superheroes, Star Wars, space, like, you know, big spectacle stuff. My list is a little different tonight. So anyway, yeah,
that's awesome. I'm here to deliver all the dumb superhero content for this list. But I'll move into another one that is not really indie, but kind of in a way. And that is Evil Dead Burn would be my next pick. So Evil Dead is in an interesting place because you have the original trilogy, and then you had Ash versus Evil Dead, the TV show, which was really awesome. And then you had the 2013 Evil Dead movie, which was kind of, it was a bit of a remake, and that one was really awesome too. And then it was just silent for like 10 years probably about 10 years. And then we got Evil Dead Rise, which was just a random entry. You know, the Deadites are back. The Necronomicon's back. We're just going to have another scary story in this universe. And it's not going to be a big story. You know, it's not going to be like this Army of Darkness, like high fantasy sort of thing. It's actually going to be like kind of a contained story about the Deadites, like haunting like this isolated family, you know, and it's just going for the scares, not necessarily the big lore and everything like that. And Evil Dead Burn, I don't know anything about this movie, but I think it's really cool that right now the Evil Dead series is just churning out movies. Like, I feel like it's almost like they were like,
yeah,
you know, there's no reason that every couple of years we don't have an Evil Dead movie coming out. Like, we totally can do just random Evil Dead movies. And because of how Evil Dead Rise played out, I'm kind of curious if that's what this is. It's just a random story within that universe. But I'm super excited about this. The reason I say this is kind of indie, which obviously Evil Dead, huge franchise. It's not an indie movie. But the director, I was looking at this a little bit earlier, and the director hasn't really done much. Like, he's done a couple shorts. He's done some movie, I believe, called Infested. And that's it. Like, it's kind of just this random horror guy that they got to direct this movie. And I love that too. Like, you know, we don't have to get like the biggest director in the world. Let's find some new blood. Let's find this random up and coming horror director and give him an Evil Dead movie and see what he does. So I think that's really cool from like kind of an indie standpoint. But yeah, I don't know too much about this movie. There's not a lot to say about it because we haven't seen much from it. But I do think this is going to be one of the cooler movies to come out this coming year. So there you go.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Very cool. And dude, all the Evil Dead movies have been great. So I'm with you. I just didn't know there was one coming out. And I think I missed that when I was trying to put together my list.
Yeah, for sure. This one surprised me, too. But yeah, what do you got next?
All right. The next one I have is Coyote versus Acme.
Yeah. Awesome choice.
All we've been hearing about how amazing this movie is. And this is a movie that wasn't supposed to be released ever. And it got shelved. And then we had another studio step in and go, no, this has got to be released. And there was a whole big thing. We talked about it like months ago. But hey, we are getting Coyote versus Acme. And I'm kind of like really curious to see this movie. So I will probably make sure I put a butt in the seat for that one. Like actually go to the theater to see it just to like show the like, honestly, this would be one that I'm going to the theater to show support, not just because I want to see the movie. So
absolutely. Yeah, good call. This one made my short list. It didn't make my final list, but I'm now thinking it probably should. You know, it's one of those movies that it has a place in Hollywood history. It has a place in animation history. Like you said, this movie was never supposed to come out. I think there's just something about it that like I feel like it's almost been overhyped for me. And I feel like that's not the right place to be in. But I'm going to be there to see this movie, too. Like this sounds awesome. So good call.
All right, man. What's your next one for me?
Yeah, so my next one, where to go next? I'll go with this one. This one's pretty easy to talk about. I did put Super Mario Galaxy on my list. I really loved the recent Super Mario Brothers movie. I think the year that came out, that was one of my favorite movies that year. It's also like, you know, I've got a kid who's the right age. He's super into Mario. So it's like it's made that movie like so fun to go to the theaters to see. But the original Mario movie, I do think that or the Super Mario Brothers movie from what was it, 2023 or whatever, that movie for me was very rewatchable too. Like I feel like I watched it over and over again. You see a lot of Easter eggs, you notice more jokes and stuff. And I'm hoping that Super Mario Galaxy is just as exciting. So I'm just kind of excited for the same team to be going in and making another awesome Mario movie. So yeah, this one should be awesome when it comes out, you know?
Yeah, no disagreement here. This is definitely one that I'm excited for. This has made my short list. And I will make sure I have a butt in the seat for it. I actually really, I think they're showing too much in the trailer that's out. And I'm kind of honestly tired of seeing the trailer because I'm like, stop showing me Bowser and little Bowser in the castle with the painting. But when you get to the end of the trailer, and because everything looks amazing, but then when you get to the end of the trailer and Rosalina steps out and she activates her wand, dude, I absolutely love that sound effect and hearing it in that IMAX speaker sound system. It just sounds so amazing. And I'm like that alone, just that sound effect made me excited to see the movie. Like I already wanted to see it, but it just kind of amped up the excitement.
That's
just
awesome.
From that one sound effect. So
that's great.
All right. Well, my next one is Supergirl. Nice. I've talked about how I'm excited to see this movie to begin with. I'm excited for the Supergirl movie, but I'm going to tell you I don't think I was expecting drunk bad girl Supergirl at all when Superman came out. I really don't. I literally was like, I was like, hey, we're supposed to get a Supergirl tease in this movie, or she's supposed to be a cameo, and we get the scene and I'm like, oh my God, we're getting drunk Supergirl. This is going to be amazing. I can't wait. And then you're like, oh, and then you see the poster where it says look out as opposed to look up. And you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like I'm just excited for it altogether. The idea that her powers could be unchecked for a change. The fact that she could like, because I've always had this theory that she's more powerful than Superman, but they'll never actually answer that question. And I feel like we'll get that taste of how powerful she really is, but they don't but they also don't want to answer that question kind of thing. But her also powers are unchecked because of her, you know, time and space and collecting the different radiations and then getting to Earth and amplifying her powers. And then she's like, oh, by the way, I can go drink on this planet because it's got a red sun. I'm just excited for it. So yeah, and I think they casted it, and Millie Alcock is amazing, and I can't wait to see. So yeah, there you go. Supergirl.
I think on paper, DC Comics is never going to say that she is actually more powerful than Superman, but I think there is a level of like, she doesn't hold back and she's not always going to play nice the way that Superman is.
Right.
So she could potentially cause more damage. So I'm right there with you from there. But
it's just the more you read, the more you question it, you know.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. When I say read, I'm not talking news. I'm talking actual comic books. The more comic books you read, you're going to go, wait.
No, so. I totally see where you're coming from. I just don't think on paper they're actually going to ever say it, but yep. I'm not going to argue with you there. But yeah, we totally match for this one. Supergirl. I mean, probably no surprise to you, Drew, but I'm super excited about this movie too. I think she was like a really, really good surprise at the end of this recent Superman movie. And yeah, this one just sounds really fun. I don't really know what to add to it that you haven't said. Recently, I was talking to a friend group, and one of my buddies, because I remember, like, I shared, like, it was like an online friend group that I have, but I shared, like, the new, like, they just released the new Supergirl logo for the movie, and one of my friends was like, I thought it was going to be more, like, punk rock, like, graffiti looking, and I was like, well, it kind of, I don't know if you've seen the new logo, I'm sure you have, Drew, but I was like, it's kind of, like, subtly graffiti looking, because there's, like, kind of like a little bit of a paint splatter texture around the lettering and stuff like that. And my friend was like, yeah, like they really played up this punk rock aspect to Superman, but I felt like that fits Supergirl better. And I was like, yeah, I see where you're coming from, but I feel like Supergirl is actually more of an EDM party chick in this universe. And I have this weird theory that James Gunn secretly has a different musical genre in mind for every single DC character. And I don't know if that's
really
true.
I really like that you said the EDM.
Yeah. Yeah.
Party absolutely. Girl. Like
that's totally what she seemed like to me. But if you think about it, you know, like Superman is like punk rock or pop punk, like Supergirl is going to be EDM. Peacemaker is obviously like kind of like 80s glam metal. So yeah, I'm just kind of curious how this is all gonna play out. But yeah, this movie is gonna be great. I fully expect this movie to be awesome. So there you go.
Yeah, awesome. And I was really kind of struggling with what order to put these last two movies in. So I'm just gonna go with this one, and that's The Social Reckoning. This is the Aaron Sorkin follow-up to The Social Network, which he also wrote.
Oh, cool.
I'm really, really excited to see it, mostly because I'm such a fan of Sorkin. And I think it's a masterclass on how to write. If you pay attention to like how tight his dialogue is, it's just a masterclass. It really is. So I look very heavily. I'm very excited to see The Social Reckoning. So yeah, I don't really know what to say about it, but it's basically his follow-up to The Social Network. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, this one will be super relevant, I think, and it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of a new spin it takes on the social commentary as far as like where the world is now, you know, now that we're all obsessed and like super glued into social media. So yeah, good call. This is one that it's not on my most anticipated list, but I think this is going to be one of my favorites when, you know, once the year is actually completed. So yeah,
part of me hopes that we walk out of the theater and I'll turn off our phones. Like, I probably shouldn't be.
No, you're going to walk out of the theater and then post on Twitter about how we should turn off our phones.
Yeah, right. There you go. All right, man, what do you got?
Yeah, so I didn't mean this to be my last pick, and this one's kind of weird. I feel like this is another one where we don't have a lot of information, but I think it has the potential to be super, super interesting, depending on how they approach it. But I actually went with Clayface. So yeah, this is the new Clayface, the DC comics movie Clayface is coming out. And this is going to be really exciting because they seem to have more of a, it seems to be like a smaller, like horror story approach that they're taking with this. And I think that's just really interesting. With the new like DC stuff, like James Gunn, which I actually don't know, is Clayface kind of, does that factor into the James Gunn DCU stuff, or is it kind of
according to James Gunn? According to James Gunn, it does. So
okay, and I thought so, but I think it's really cool how James Gunn has said like, not all these projects are going to fit together. You know, like certain movies are going to have one feel. Other movies are going to have a completely different feel. And so I feel like going from Superman to Peacemaker to Supergirl to Clayface, I feel like those are all going to be very different things. And I think that's really exciting. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on this one, Drew. This one I have probably the least to say about. I just think if they do it right, it could be super, super interesting. You know what I mean?
This is definitely a do it right kind of situation. This is definitely a, like one, you want them to do it right. Two, what all does it mean? I have seen reports that they're using the Batman animated series episodes, Feet of Clay parts 1 and 2 as the kind of basis for the like inspiration of the story. So I kind of already know what I'm kind of walking into, but they also said it's going to be rated R and it's going to be a bit of a body horror. And that brings me back to just the substance nightmares that I have sometimes, you know, but, I am very excited to see what this is. And, yeah, my butt will be in a seat for it for sure. So yeah, I'm totally with you with Clayface. So
yeah, absolutely. The last thing I'll say is this is the one that I looked up the director before the show, but it's James Watkins, which I wasn't really familiar with too much on a name basis, but he actually directed The Woman in Black, the Daniel Radcliffe movie, as well as Speak No Evil. And I thought both of those were like really good horror movies. So that's something to look forward to. But yeah, what do you got for us last, Drew?
All right, the last movie, I feel like this should be a no surprise for coming out of my mouth, but that would be Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey.
Okay, yeah, I knew this was going to make your list, so awesome.
Yeah, this, that's the thing, I wasn't sure. Should I save Social Reckoning or The Odyssey for the end? You know what I mean? So, but yeah, The Odyssey, man, I'm really excited. The footage they have shown looks great. There's going to be a re-release of One Battle After Another is hitting theaters this weekend, along with something else. I forget what the other movie was, but they're going back into the theaters for a quick another round of theater possible views, and they're going to put 5 minutes of footage of The Odyssey in front of those movies.
Oh, nice.
So if you do go to the theater and watch it, that's cool. One Battle After Another is a movie that I've been dying to see. I didn't get a chance to see it in theaters, but it's going to be on HBO Max real soon in the next like week or so. So I will watch it when it hits streaming. I look heavily forward to The Odyssey. I'm really excited for what this means, mostly because you and I were both kind of in that pocket of, man, after Oppenheimer, they basically said, what do you want to do? You know, so...
Yeah, absolutely. This one's going to be really exciting to see. I think the cast is stacked right now. Christopher Nolan, like, it's going to be amazing. I think I've heard people talk about how, like, and I could be wrong, but I haven't really seen Christopher Nolan do a movie like this, like more of an epic, like, I don't know if it's going to be like lean full into the fantasy aspects or not. I really haven't seen Christopher Nolan do that. And so I'm really curious how this is going to play out, but I'm sure it's going to be amazing. You know, it's going to be gorgeous and, you know, the music's going to be great and everything. So this is going to be one of the biggest movies of the year. So definitely a good call there. So, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, there we go. The Odyssey. That brings us to the end of tonight's topic, man. Because I made you go first, do you want to talk about our list for next week?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
It's our built-in list. Do you want to talk about it or do you want me to talk about it?
I mean, I can. next week's our Christmas list, and because of that, it's going to be a complete surprise. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
No, next week we're going to do our top five Christmas songs, right? So yeah. This is going to be really exciting. I expect we're going to pick some familiar classics, but Drew, if you're anything like me, you're going to pull out some really weird, obscure stuff. And
man, that's gonna it's going to be all weird, obscure stuff because there's a degree where you're like, ooh, Christmas classic. There's definitely some out there that you're like, yep, I absolutely love this. And then there's like stuff you're like, why don't they play this on like the Christmas station? Like, I don't get it. So I'm all for the weird stuff completely. Awesome. So, yeah,
that said, I have one very, very obscure one, but this will be fun. Anyways, keep going.
Cool. Yeah, it'll be a good conversation. But yeah, it's just next week will be our Christmas list. So we, you know, strap in. Let's have a little Christmas. And yeah, there we go. All right. So, Peter, you want to toss this episode in the can?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. Everyone, do us all a favor. Check out our website, top5report.com. There you'll find links to our social media, along with a link to our email, top5report@gmail.com. We are on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Amazon, Audible. You can subscribe to us in those places. If you do, you will not miss a single episode. You can also leave us a review. We love those 5 stars, but we also understand criticism because it helps us get better and it makes the words we say feel important. You can follow me personally on Twitter and Instagram at Drew3927. Peter, what about you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at NinjaPierre, and that's where I'll be warning you that this year, Christmas will be on 25, 25, 25 for the first time in 25,000 years. So watch out.
Yes. That being accurate. That being said, for the Top 5 Report, I'm Drew.
I'm Peter.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.